Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, and I have a feeling it might be a SmackDown match day because I have John Martellaro here. How are you, John?
Hi, good morning. And no, I love Kelly. We get along great.
And so do I. I love both you guys. Kelly, Gumont, how are you?
I love you both too, even when John is wrong.
Oh, that's so adorable, Kelly.
Well played, Martellaro.
All right, so before the fighting starts, I just want to let everyone know I'm pretty excited that we have Harry's, the mail order razor company, as a sponsor this week. That totally rocks. And the reason you guys are here today, it was kind of a necessary thing, but then also our listeners were demanding it. And it just seemed appropriate that we do a follow-up to the whole thing about gold laptops and stuff. And on Monday, Apple announced the brand new MacBook, which I looked at, and as they were showing it off, I was mixed with giddy excitement, elation, and profound disappointment, because I'm like, where are all of the ports? Mm-hmm. And where's my MagSafe connector? And at the same time, holy crap, that's thinner than my first iPad. Mm-hmm. And the space gray is just downright sexy. But gold, oh my God. And anyhow, so I was just like a mixed bag of emotions.
It was a roller coaster for everyone, I think.
It was totally an emotional
roller coaster. Well, you know, the ports are actually hidden. They're all there. They're just over on the MacBook Air. And the MacBook Air was updated yesterday, Monday, and it's still for sale.
You know, and I'm not surprised, because I don't think Apple was looking at replacing the MacBook Air by bringing out this new MacBook, but instead creating that bridge that goes between the iPad and the Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's fascinating that it used to sort of be the entry-level machine. Like, you could get a MacBook or you could get a MacBook Pro. So back in the day, the way you could tell the difference is that a MacBook was plastic and the Pro was metal. And it was the aluminum that indicated to you that this was a machine for serious business. And so they finally got rid of the plastic, which was fine. People didn't like paying the black tax. And then we got Retina displays. And the Retina tax also was kind of high. But it was, again, only on the Pro could you get a Retina screen. So I think it's really interesting that they've sort of tried to jockey the plain old MacBook, because it's not an Air, it's not a Pro. The plain old MacBook is now kind of the hottest machine. Like, overall, it's got more technology, it's got amazing battery, it's got USB-C, which will eventually, once there's enough adoption and everything, be an amazing technology just based on transfer rates alone. Like, I can't even imagine being able to sync my phone over that port, because I'm still one of those people. And it's going to be amazing if I have to go restore gigabytes and gigabytes of music to my phone over that transfer rate. It's going to be mind-blowingly fast. So I think it's cool, but I do think, John, you do make a good point that there are other options, and those options are still available. And not only are they still available, they just got a little nudge. So the thing I think is entertaining is that the MacBook Air now comes with the chip that I've had in my computer for almost 3 years now. This is becoming one of those cases, just like when the MacBook Air was first released, where a number of people are declaring it a failure or declaring it pointless or sort of talking smack about it, solely because it is not the machine that satisfies their use case.
Right. I've seen that all over the internet.
Yes, and that happens a lot.
It does. And, you know, if my job is to screw in screws all day long, and the company that I buy all my tools from introduces a hammer, I understand that there are people in the world whose job is to nail nails, not screw screws. And so those people are going to be really excited about the hammer. Maybe I'm not. And then when they release a new screwdriver, I'm super pumped about the new screwdriver. The nail people, not so much. It's one of those things where, like, I think a lot of people don't understand. And I just want to ask those people, you know, are you a Cubs fan? Are you left-handed? Like, is there ever a point in the world where, like, somebody does something and maybe it's just not exactly the thing that you wanted, and yet the world has somehow managed to continue spinning?
Yeah, as I said in my article yesterday, I said, as always, there'll be people who are smart and whose lifestyle embraces that kind of computer, and they'll be celebrated in Apple videos. Mm-hmm. And for them, it'll be perfect. And for other people, it won't be. So Apple's really smart to bring this out as a third product, upgrade the other products, let people choose, watch the mm-hmm. sales numbers, ease us into the technology, telegraph what's in store for the future, and let us buy our MacBook Airs if we need them.
Now, I still think the gold is ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Say that again very slowly.
Okay. John, get a pen. I think Kelly Gamont, think that the gold laptop is ridiculous.
And why would that be, considering how popular the gold iPad is?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I'm sure there are people who love it and think that it's fantastic. And I have gone on record saying I think the gold is a terrible decision, but I understand why they made it, because they didn't make it for me. And when I saw the gold phone in person, I haven't really seen a whole lot of gold iPads, but when I've seen the gold phone in person, it does not strike me as the design tragedy that it appeared to be to me in like product videos and stuff. So I haven't really seen, I don't know that I've honestly ever seen a gold iPad. I think that much gold might be kind of a turnoff, at least to me.
I've seen a gold iPad. At Christmas time, I took a friend to the Apple store here in Denver, and he bought one, and it is just awesome.
Now, see, that darker, I think Tim called it space black at one point, which I thought was funny.
Which is funny, yeah.
The darker aluminum shade, I'm very curious what that's going to look like in person. I'm curious what all of them are going to look like in person. I still don't think I'm going to get a gold one, if I get one at all. But I'm very interested in that darker color. You know, and I want to know how that's going to look in person.
Well, take a look at the Bridge keyboard, because the Bridge keyboard comes in gold, space gray, and silver as well. You get a feel for it.
Now, what I did to get a feel for what the space gray laptop is going to look like, I just took the case off my iPhone and looked at the metal. because I went with space gray. I've always been a dark color for my mobile accessory kind of guy.
Oh, weren't you saying the other day you had a Pismo MacBook or PowerBook?
Yeah, I had a Pismo.
I had one too. Oh, I had one too. That was awesome.
My favorite laptop I've ever had.
In that case, the plastic worked for some reason on the Pismo.
Did you have a 1400, Jeff?
I did. I really liked the 1400.
Because that is hands down my favorite personal my favorite laptop, because it was a Lego Mac. You just went and you were into the guts. It was a piece of cake. It was beautiful.
See, I loved the 1400 for that. The Pismo, however, was my favorite laptop, because when I got my Pismo, after about a month, I realized I don't need a desktop computer anymore. This just became everything, and it totally changed my computing world.
See, I had that moment with the 1400, which is the other reason that I really enjoyed it. Aside from the fact that you could totally customize the top.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, it's interesting, because I took a sharp turn away from notebook computers a few years ago, because I was running Parallels a lot. And I needed lots of memory, and I needed lots of cores, and I needed lots of speed to allocate to these virtual machines. And I found that my MacBooks didn't, especially the dual cores, which were pathetic. The Core 2 Duo just didn't have the punch I needed for Parallels, and so I kind of switched to desktop machines. I have a MacBook Air, but I use it for research. Interesting.
Well, and I think that's a lot of people's use case for the MacBook Air. For a lot of people, it's not the primary machine. I know for certain Peter Cohen rocks, or at least until recently, unless something's changed, rocked the 11-inch Air because it had all-day battery life. It fit in a tiny bag. And he could type on a physical keyboard, which was the thing that he needed out of it. It is not his primary computer. And it was never, I don't think it was meant to be most people's primary computer. It was meant to be the light travel auxiliary machine. And I think it's gorgeous. I love the MacBook Air. I have basically no use for it because I have a 13-inch laptop and I can do everything on my laptop that I need to do. I just take it with me. It doesn't make sense to have an 11-inch machine and a 13-inch machine. So I have one computer. You know, and that was one of the initial things that I remember being a, the MacBook Air is going to fail because I don't want one.
Right.
And I do remember people talking like that when the Air came out.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, okay, hold this thought because we really need to talk about our sponsor real quick.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Okay. So our sponsor this week is Harry's, the razor company. And I know I've waxed poetic 2 days already about how great they are and how great their pricing is. And I've talked about how amazingly close a shave I get using their razors, which is a big thing because I've been a safety razor user for a really long time because of the, you know, being able to get that really close shave. But I haven't talked about how they actually make this stuff happen. And so what they did was they went and bought this company in Germany that's for decades been making these high quality blades. So they actually own the company that makes the technology that they use. And because they own everything, they've been able to keep prices really low. That and they don't have to do with the overhead of having merchandise out in stores because they send everything to you. So that's made it possible for them to do things like create the Truman package, which is the one that I have, $15 for a really good razor handle. I think it's three really good blade cartridges right in the package, and then a little cover case for the blades for when you're traveling. And,
nice.
Yeah, and then you get your shaving lotion or shaving cream, and the whole thing's $15.
Wow. Plus,
if you use our discount code, which is TDO, you get $5 off your first order, so $10, plus they don't charge shipping. So $10 gets you an amazing razor. And
now, how many shaves can you get out of a cartridge?
Now, keep in mind that my beard, as it's growing in, is basically steel wool.
Okay.
So I can very comfortably get a full week off of one of these blades, and disposable blades typically I can only get a couple days before they just start making it look like I'm a severe radiation victim. But
okay,
not with Harry's. Yeah, I can go a full week, and I actually pushed the blade to see how far it would go, and I did a week and a half. And at the end of the week and a half, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stop now because. Mm-hmm. Because it's getting too dull for me, but that's saying a lot, especially considering other blades. I get like 2 days, and that's it.
Okay.
So anyhow, really great stuff. The Truman package, $15, but you can get it for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're someone that needs to shave all the time, they have subscription packages, so they can just send you what you need on a preset schedule, or you can just order replacement supplies, shaving cream, shaving lotion, new blades, as you need them. And it's all amazingly affordable. So
that's great.
Yeah, it is. And so go check them out, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself a fantastic and amazing shave. And then you can look just as beautiful as I do.
Awesome.
As we do. That's right. Okay, so back to the MacBook.
I wanted to ask you guys before the break, are you going to buy one, Kelly, Jeff?
Probably not.
I'm not going to buy one right away, but when I decide it's time to replace my MacBook Air,
yeah,
I need to seriously look at if the MacBook Air or the MacBook will be the more appropriate machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come down to exactly what do I need to do with it. The reason I've been so happy with the Air is that when I need to do presentations, it's a machine that has everything I need to make sure that can happen. I prefer to do presentations from my 15-inch MacBook Pro because in many cases, I need the horsepower and the apps and everything that are there. And that would be because I'm also at a conference, a trade show, where I need to record podcasts, and I'm working on graphics and video stuff for mm-hmm. whatever the event is. So I need to figure out, can I do the things that I really need to do on the MacBook? And if so, then that could easily become a MacBook Air replacement for me.
I'm thinking the same thing, only in my case, it would be writing in the recliner. I have a workstation here at my desk, but often I go into the recliner and just sit back and write. And all I need is a great keyboard and a great display and a nice little comfortable MacBook or MacBook Air. And so I'm thinking the same as you, Jeff. I think we both have 2011 MacBook Airs. Mm-hmm. And when I'm ready to replace it, because I use mine for experimental, you know, beta versions of OS X and other little experimental stuff. And so I probably wouldn't impact the ability to sit in the recliner and write. And what color is it going to be, Kelly? It's going to be gold.
John's got to have his bling.
So breaking news, Kelly's allergic to John's new laptop. So here's the thing for me that is the most interesting feature of the new one. Obviously, we know it's not the color. It's the input technology. It's yes. The inputs. It's not USB-C. When I'm talking about inputs, I'm not talking about the one little port on the side. To me, it's we have redesigned the keyboard and we have redesigned the trackpad. And as a person who has proclaimed my current depth of hatred for the action on the Chiclet keyboard, and for those who have missed it in previous podcasts, we hates it precious. I hate it with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns. And that's understating it.
Or
just
one blue
sketch.
Giant.
And
John, this is exactly why I love you. I have
yes,
a total man crush on you right now.
And so I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with the dome switches. For people who don't know, what's underneath the key that actually causes it to press is called a switch. And the switches that are in them now, they are replacing with a slightly different kind of switch. And that switch more closely resembles the old clacky keyboard switch.
Yes.
which makes me inordinately happy. I mute myself a lot on podcasts because I type like this. On a yep. loud clacky keyboard because
I know that sound. It's a yes. Matthias Tactile Pro.
It is a Matthias
exactly
Tactile.
Exactly what's sitting.
Oh,
on
I used
desk.
To use those.
And this is the quiet one. Actually, the super clacky one is sitting over there. I switch between them.
You know what I found out, Kelly? the throw on the Matthias was too long, and it was taking me too long to move from one key to the other because of the stroke.
Really?
So the Apple aluminum keyboard has a very short throw. Uh-huh. And so as soon as I strike it, I'm ready to move to the next key. That's why I gave up the Matthias.
Well, I have the opposite problem. I like the throw because I end up bottoming out the keys on the Chiclets all the time. And mm-hmm. so it just keeps feeling interrupted. And I feel like I'm expending a bunch of effort just to get to the bottom and get crashed to a halt. So the fact that it's letting me extend my fingers out the rest of the way to throw the key and move on to the next one, I'm actually faster on the loud keyboard than I am on the Chiclets.
And I'm with you, Kelly.
Which is why I love the Matthias keyboard, because the fastest I think I've ever typed in my life was on the Apple Extended 2. And I neither have one of those or an ADB to USB adapter in order to use it in my current setup. So I use the Matthias keyboards instead. Now, the Matthias keyboards, the quiet one uses the dome switches. The one I have now uses dome switches. I think it might make the keys a little taller. I really am excited to see if they're going to put this into the peripherals, because Apple sells a wireless keyboard and Apple sells a magic trackpad, and I would really like it if the action on those was a little bit different. So I'm really excited about the new computer because I'm excited about what it might do for the peripherals.
Yeah,
because I really want that stuff in my life.
So my assumption, just based on what Apple's done in the past, is that when we get the next big upgrade for the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. we'll have the new keyboards.
They'll get that too, yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen the beginning of that because the 13-inch mm-hmm. Retina MacBook Pro got an update, and it has uh-huh. the new Force Touch trackpad.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that go out to the MacBook Air and the rest of the MacBook mm-hmm. Pro line. By the way, when they showed off that new trackpad, I was like, okay, I need this because this is Apple saying, hey, we're putting a pressure-sensitive graphics tablet on your computer.
We're slapping it in the front of your laptop.
And based on the size of the laptop and everything else,
that new shape. Design,
yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, the 12-inch iPad Pro that everyone has been hoping for, we just got it, and it's called the Mac Pro, or the MacBook.
The MacBook. And the shape, it's finally the approximate dimensions of the screen that you're using to navigate across.
Yeah, I think it's a great design, and I'm looking forward to getting to play with a Force Touch trackpad.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be awesome.
Have you noticed, Jeff, that nobody's complaining about no super drives anymore? It's just history.
Oh, I hadn't even noticed that. But yeah, you're right. People have stopped complaining about the super drive, which is
good. Finally.
We needed to stop complaining.
Yeah, we move on.
Now, yeah. So the new thing that's gone, we don't have traditional USB ports. We don't have Thunderbolt ports.
That's the one that surprises me. Because there's no way to adapt Thunderbolt either. So if you've got an Apple $1,000 display, you're out of luck if you buy this new computer.
Unless you...
it's coming, though.
Unless you hook up the display to an Apple TV and go wireless.
Well, you know, I saw an article the other day that said it's not a war on ports. It's just a war on peripherals. Because right. We don't attach peripherals to our iPads, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I was looking at this, or another reason I was looking at this as this is the 12-inch iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
in essence and color and design and number of ports and so on, but you don't mean that you're against an iPad, real iPad Pro.
I'm not against a real iPad Pro, but I don't think we're getting it.
We
got the device that is going to be that.
We got the device that occupies the spot that
I want a 12-inch iPad, 12.9-inch iPad.
We know you do.
Well, you might have to just settle for a 12-inch MacBook in gold.
I'll settle for that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that that we will see USB Type-C replace all our peripheral connections. I think on the Pro line, so the MacBook Pro and the Mac Pro, and maybe even on the iMac, we'll continue to see the other ports that we have, because Apple does get that there are different use markets for their different
devices.
Oh,
yeah. A USB-C on a Mac Pro would just be insane.
That would be the death of the product.
Yeah.
But on something that is falling closer to the iPhone and iPad line, where you don't have connector ports anyhow, except for the Lightning connector, I think it's okay to not have your MagSafe, although I think not having MagSafe is really stupid, but I think it's okay. They can get away with not having MagSafe. They can, for charging, they can get away with not having all the other ports, because that's not how this computer is designed to be used.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah. So
that's why I wrote Apple's new MacBook has iPad envy, and that's good.
Yeah, I agree. And now when I get to the point where I need to replace my MacBook Air, if I'm looking at replacing my 9.7-inch iPad, maybe they become the same device.
Oh, really?
I think that's entirely possible.
I could do that and then have an iPad mini and my iPad stuff.
Yeah.
So getting rid of the iPad is not... in my future. I mean, right.
See,
now,
what I want to have a bigger iPad. The reason I want a 12.9-inch is because I gave up trying to read magazines on a 9.7-inch iPad Air. And so, heaven help me, I have converted all my magazines back to paper because of the user interface, and the convenience on paper is so much better than the user interface on a small iPad. But when a 12.9-inch iPad comes out, I might go back to digital magazines.
Well, when or if that happens, I think all it will do is allow magazine publishers to continue to do what they've always done, which is not
screw up.
They're not truly embracing the platform. They're just trying to make an analog of a print magazine in a digital format. And that's yeah. not what you need to do.
It's with a magazines. Whole other podcast.
It needs, yes. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So looks like we're going to have to wrap up. But
okay.
I really wanted to, yesterday I focused on the Apple Watch, and today I really wanted to focus on the new MacBook, so we were able to do that. And I Yay. Couldn't think of a better team to do the MacBook wrap up with. So John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And Kelly, thank you for joining me as well.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
It's great to have both of you here. Thank you for our listeners that made it very clear that they wanted to have this episode happen, because it's nice to know what you guys are interested in. So
yes.
So please continue to let us know, and you can. It's really easy to get a hold of us on Twitter. So the Twitter account is TMO Daily, mm-hmm. And I watch that. So I'm looking for your comments. And thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor today.
Yeah.
Head over to harrys.com and use the discount code TDO. Get yourself a $5 discount on your first order, and get yourself an amazingly awesome shave in the process. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.
John Orick Marchalero signing off.